I read this past week or two, this following quote, and I just loved it because it had so much to do with the lesson on sowing and reaping. It says, "Today is the father of tomorrow." I just love that. It really sums up this idea. What you get tomorrow is going to be based upon what you do today. One person wrote, "What we are today is a result of what we've been thinking and the way we've lived in the past." You know, the nation of Israel had to learn this in a very personal way. To kind of begin us thinking about this, let's go to Judges, the second chapter, and read something about the nation of Israel. Judges chapter 2, we'll read the first four verses. Judges chapter 2, verse 1. "Then the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, 'I led you up from Egypt and brought you to the land of which I swore to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars. But you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Therefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you. But they shall be thorns in your side, and their God shall be a snare to you.' So it was, when the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voices and wept." See, they failed to follow God's instructions, and as a result, suffered the consequences. Sowing and reaping. You know, the Lord gives principles in Scripture. They serve as warnings and they serve as encouragements. Our main text this morning comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 6, and verse 7. A very, very familiar verse, but one that is filled with lessons. Galatians 6, verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." You know, this is true. This law is true in every area of life. We cannot fool God in any way, nor should we even try. Well, when God created this world, he made it to operate according to certain rules. And these were told near the very beginning of time. In Genesis chapter 8, we have these familiar words in verse 22. Genesis 8, this is the last verse in that chapter. Genesis 8 and verse 22. "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease." And that reminds me that this world is going to continue to go on until God decides this is the last day. So while this verse that we just read is discussing, you know, agriculture, but this law applies universally. When the prophet Jeremiah recorded these words, or the Bible records his words, in Jeremiah chapter 2, we read about the nation of Judah. Jeremiah chapter 2, I want us to begin reading there in verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. "Thus says the Lord, what injustice have your fathers found in me that they have gone far from me, have followed idols, and have become idolaters?" That's the question. "Neither did they say, 'Where is the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no one crossed and where no one dwelt? I brought you into a bountiful country, to eat its fruit and its goodness. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priests did not say, 'Where is the Lord?' And those who handle the law did not know me. The rulers also transgressed against me, the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. See, Judah had the seeds of rebellion against Jehovah. They had rebelled against him. They had followed idols. They had become idolaters. They had forgotten what God had done for them. So notice the consequences. Verse 9. Therefore I will yet bring charges against you, says the Lord, and against your children's children I will bring charges. For pass beyond the coast of Cyprus and see. Send to Kedar and consider diligently and see if there has been such a thing. Has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods? But my people have changed their glory for what does not profit. Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. What have they done? They have forsaken the one who had given them everything. And what have they done? They had made themselves cisterns that couldn't hold water. Couldn't provide. Because they had forgotten God. And notice how his law is stated, beginning in verse 14. Is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he plundered? The young lions roared at him and growled. They made his land waste. His cities are burned without inhabitant. And the people of Noph and Tophanes have broken the crown of your head. Have you not brought this on yourself in that you have forsaken the Lord your God when he led you in the way? Notice how he says it. Have you not brought this on yourself? Consequences, sowing and reaping. What we sow is what we reap. In Proverbs 22, the wise man puts it like this in verse 8. Proverbs 22, verse 8. And we'll see what he says about sowing and reaping. He says, verse 8, he who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, and the rod of his anger will fail. You sow iniquity, you're going to reap sorrow. You're going to reap vanity. You're going to reap something that's useless. See, when a person pursues a life of evil and sin and immorality and wickedness, he's sowing iniquity. That's what he's doing. Why does he do that? Because many people, sadly, only think about the here and now. They don't think about consequences. If we're still in Proverbs, Proverbs mentions this so many times. In Proverbs chapter 13, we still have these wise sayings of Solomon. In chapter 13, verse 15, he says, good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. See, sowing and reaping. The way of the unfaithful is hard. In Proverbs 11, verses 18 and 19. The wise man said, the merciful man does good for his own soul, but he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. The wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. Consequences. The wages of sin is death. That's sowing and reaping. See, if you reap, like we read there in Proverbs 22, verse 8, you reap vanity. You reap what is useless. You reap what's a waste. Someone who lives a life of sin and wickedness and evil, they're wasting their lives. That's what they're doing. Their life has no purpose. You know, the wise man Solomon, toward the end of Ecclesiastes, sums it up like this, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. So the wise man is saying, this is what it's all about. You know, the whole book from Ecclesiastes 1 and on describes finding purpose in life. What life is really about. So here at the end, He sums it up. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. This is what it's all about. Everything. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. He says, I have pursued all of this, and He says, this is what it's about. This is it. This is what life is about. In Hosea mentions this as well. In Hosea, and we're going to begin in verse 8, or chapter 8 of Hosea. We're going to first look at verse 7. Another familiar verse that you will recognize. Hosea chapter 8, verse 7 says, they sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. The stalk has no bud, it shall never produce meal. If it should produce, aliens would swallow it up. Now, if we go back to the beginning of this chapter, he's talking about the rebellion, the sin, the iniquity of Israel. Go back to verse 1. Set the trumpet to your mouth. He shall come like an eagle against the house of the Lord. Because they have transgressed my covenant and rebelled against my law, Israel will cry to me, my God, we know you. Israel has rejected the good. The enemy will pursue him. See, they were worshiping false gods. Verse 4, they set up kings, but not by me. They made princes, but I did not acknowledge them. From their silver and gold they made idols for themselves, that they might be cut off. Your calf is rejected, O Samaria. My anger is aroused against them. How long shall until they attain to innocence? For from Israel is even this, a workman made it, and it's not God, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken to pieces. See, they worship false gods. They chose to forsake Jehovah. So God was going to forsake them, sowing and reaping. Severe consequences would be the result. We know about consequences. When the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 10, notice what he says in verses 26 and 27. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 and 27. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Divine judgment. Now, sowing righteousness will reap kindness. One more time. This time, let's go to Hosea chapter 10 and see what the prophet says there about sowing what's good. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. The prophet says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness on you. See, sow righteousness, reap mercy, reap kindness. See, He had admonished God's people to change their ways. If they sowed the right kind of seed, righteousness, they could reap the blessings of God's kindness. And of course, the New Testament stresses the same thing. This necessity of obeying the Lord and living in accord with His righteousness. In Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul said this in verse 13. He says, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. That's what we're supposed to be sowing. We're sowing righteousness. Our members, everything about us, are to be instruments of righteousness. That's what we're to be doing. And of course, many, many, many other places in the New Testament says the same thing. That's what we're supposed to sow. Sow what's right. Sow righteousness. The Apostle Paul also said there was another law about sowing and reaping. He mentions this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, where he says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." The context, of course, is the giving Christians were to do on the first day of the week that he had talked about in 1 Corinthians 16. "On the first day of the week, let each of you lay by him in store, so that there be no gatherings when I come." And the giving, though, was to be done with the right spirit. See, this right attitude when you gave was just as important. In the very next verse, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, he says, "So that each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Whether you're giving time or money or help to someone, whatever it is you're giving, give with the right attitude. So, the more you give, the more, he says, you will reap. Again, whatever it is you're sowing. Going back to our original text in Galatians chapter 6, we read verse 7, which said, "Do not be deceived, God's not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Now verse 7 says, "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." And that's what's the most important, sowing to the Spirit. If we do so, we'll reap eternal life. See, if we just focus on material things, things of the world, that's reaping corruption. Things that will ultimately perish. But if we focus on things of the Spirit, spiritual things, follow the Spirit's word, we will obtain eternal life. Back in Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul put it like this in verse 6. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul said, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." See, the truth is very simple. We reap what we sow. That's the truth. So the choices we make have consequences. You know, remember these words when I was, again, looking at this material. Payday, someday. There will be a payday someday. And the 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 says, "We'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive those things done in the body, whether good or bad." That's sowing and reaping. If we sow to righteousness, we'll reap God's mercy. We sow to the Spirit, we'll reap eternal life. And that's what we want to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. This morning, Doug has picked an invitation song for us to think about our lives and what we're sowing. So if there is a need in your heart to respond, I encourage you to do that as we stand and sing.